Blog Talk Radio.
Gerald Livingston from Push Outreach Ministries. And today, the topic of discussion will be co-workers with the truth. And we'll be coming from the third book or epistle of John, verses 1 through 14. Now, when we say co-workers with the truth, what are co-workers? When you think of a co-worker, first of all, you must all realize that all of us, regardless of our title or what we call ourselves when we go into a church building or whatever ministry we're under, we are all servants of Jesus Christ, nothing more, nothing less, okay? All of these titles that people use are just earthly references, okay? But they don't convey what the true purpose of the gospel is and what God requires of a man to do. Now, anybody who is a saved and knows Jesus Christ as their personal Savior is not only a worker, but a co-worker. They may exchange different positions. Sometimes in the church there may be workers, and sometimes they may work under a specific designated leadership for a job or a position, okay? But regardless of what they do, okay, this topic today is going to be discussing how co-workers should conduct themselves in the kingdom of God, with reference to talking to people when they encounter them as they go about ministering the gospel. Now, if you are, as I said before, if you are a child of God, you are a minister. Making a church doesn't make you a minister. Having a title doesn't make you a minister. Jesus ordains his ministers. Jesus Christ only ordains his ministers, not man, okay? But it is required of everyone, once they become saved under the, you know, and they acknowledge Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they are then workers in the kingdom. Now, today, I'm going to start reading 3 John chapters 1 through 4, and I may have brief interjection with discussion. Okay. Now, in 3 John chapter 1, it says, okay, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Now, the elder of the church addresses this letter to the beloved esteemed Gaius, whom I truly love. The second scripture says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in every way and that your body may keep well, even as I know your soul keeps well and prospers. Now, if you're a child of God, you should not only prosper in your economic endeavors or things that you do in terms of earning a worldly livelihood, but your soul should prosper. Now, your soul consists of your mind, wills, and emotions, okay? And there are many people who aren't prospering because their soul is not prospering. Those three sections of their soul do not prosper. There's conflict, there's confusion in some people, and there's hesitation. They're indecisive, they can't make decisions. They can't make decisions, and they don't know whether they're coming or going sometimes, all right? So if your soul doesn't prosper, then, you know, if you're not, God said you're supposed to prosper in your soul if you're a child of God. But unfortunately, a lot of people allow the enemy to come in because he's not one. He's an interloper, and he's an interferer, and he's a liar, and he likes to come into people's situations and lives to cause confusion so that they can't have prosperity in their soul, and they get that part of their soul, call their mind off of the things of God onto the things of this world, you know, and get them to center in on that and not center in on the truth of God. Now, the third verse says, in fact, I greatly rejoice when some of the brethren from time to time arrived and spoke so highly, okay, of the sincerity and fidelity of your life. Okay, fidelity of your life, as indeed you do live in the truth, the whole gospel presents. Now, if a person does not live in the truth that God presents in his gospel, okay, then they don't have a life of sincerity and fidelity, all right? They have a worldly life, what the world would consider sincerity and fidelity. But see, God said the wisdom of this world is foolishness to him. So you must adhere to God's precepts, his ordinances, and his will for your life. You cannot go about trying to do things in your own carnal nature or flesh, which he did not mandate for you to do. All right? I'm talking about the co-workers. Now, you got workers that's doing these same, you know, these same type of things, all right? Whether you're a worker or co-worker really isn't the principle of this lesson. The thing is, if you're a servant of God, if you're a servant of Christ, then you're supposed to walk accordingly. And people should see that when they see you and not see something else. And verse 4 says, I have no greater joy than this, to hear that my spiritual children are living their lives in the truth. Now, as I said before, if you are a child of God, saved by his grace, then, okay, you should be living your life in the truth. Now, you know, we're going to get into a brief discussion, all right, what's going on with this thing. Now, it says, John the Elder began his letter to Gaius, and by extension, the church, by expressing love, prosperity, health, and selfless congratulations. The common bond in all these positive acclamations is the truth. Okay? Now, in John's gospel and letters, truth includes freedom from expectation, pretense meaning, you know, emulation and pretending, simulation, you know, copycat spirits, falsehood, and deceit. Now, if you are a co-worker in the church or you're a worker in the church or you're a child of God, none of that applies to you, okay? But you will encounter people when you try to get the gospel and present it to them. You're going to encounter all of these type of different spirits from time to time, okay, from different individuals. Truth in the Christian faith as a profound respect for God and his word and for the principles of our faith. Now, you can know that if a person doesn't respect the word of God, or they try to trample the word of God underfoot, or they try to manipulate the word in some way, or try to take out a word and put another word in and make the word say that which it does not say, then you know you are not dealing with a co-worker in the field for the harvest that Christ wants you to get with his gospel. All right? Since John greets his friend in the truth, loves him in the truth, walks with him in the truth, and encourages the church to be cooperative in the truth, we know that truth is at the heart of Christian hospitality. Now, I'm going to say that again. Truth is at the heart of Christian hospitality. If somebody you run into, any individual, if you can't share the gospel with them, if they don't know the gospel of Jesus Christ, then you don't have hospitality. Because you don't want to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to them so that, you know, their heart can be open to evaluate the word of God, receive the word of God in their heart, and accept it, okay? But a lot of people, they get, for certain reasons, they get fearful about presenting it. They don't have hospitality when they're with people. They say, well, you know, let them go to church and hear the preacher. He'll give them the gospel. Why I got to do it? Well, let me ask you something, okay? When you were saved, when you wasn't saved, how did you get the gospel? You just went out there and got it by yourself, or somebody didn't come up to you and present it to you? The only way you got it is because somebody came to you and presented it to you because they had Christian hospitality in their heart, and they conveyed it to you, okay? And God, you know, God tugged the strings of your heart, and, okay, you became aware at that time that you needed God. You needed more than what you had, okay? Now, this recognition of truth makes tempt us to say that we should only associate with others who walk likewise in the truth. Now, God said that he put us in this earth to be salt. And what does salt do? Salt has two functions. Salt preserves things so they don't spoil, and salt also can be an irritation, okay? Because when darkness comes before light, the darkness gets irritated because the light of Christ and the individuals, which is the salt that God placed on this earth when he placed us here to be his servants with the word, is going to cause a rebellion in the hearts of some people, and it's going to be an irritation, okay? But see, you know, like I said, we only present the truth of the gospel. We are presenting the hospitality of Christ. We're not trying to do no more, no less, not call ourselves Mr. Big Church or Mr. Big Name. All we want to get out here is get people to understand the gospel in its simplicity so that they can come to the knowledge of the truth and the grace of Jesus Christ. That's all we are supposed to try to do. And we're supposed to do it under the unction of the Holy Spirit, not our carnal nature or what's going on in our carnal minds, that the enemy may try to bring confusion with so that we get off track and we don't stay centered in what we're supposed to do for the kingdom. Now, while it's important that we as believers connect ourselves with others who hold the truth of Christ at heart, we should also be mindful that our Christian obligation is not just to hold the truth secret. Now, if you got God said we have this treasure in earthen vessels, okay? Now, if we got Jesus Christ in our heart, which is this treasure in our earthen vessel, we cannot keep this truth contained and try to hold it up in such a way that we don't want to, you know, share this truth with other people that we come in contact with so that they can get the treasure in their earthen vessel. Now, how do you think God feels about it when you walk around here and you're going to keep the secret of the gospel and, you know, contained within you, and he saves you by grace, but for some reason, regardless of what the reason is, you do not want to put out the truth of the gospel, or you're afraid, or you don't want to do it because your friends are looking, or whatever the reason may be. That makes no difference. God has ordained for us to go out as agents of light with the gospel of truth, to speak to the darkness that's in this present world that we are here in and walking around in. Okay? Now, our job as ministers of Christ is to take and share his truth, okay? Now, that's in verses 3 and 4 of John, the third epistle of John. Talks about that now. The heart of hospitality is to have something good and be willing to share it without concern for loss. Now, when you share the grace of God to other people, if people reject it and they don't want to receive it, okay, you don't suffer loss. They suffer loss because they rejected the truth of the gospel that you presented to them. Now, this suffer loss thing has to do with their loss, not yours, because you already have the gift. You already have the grace of God. You're just trying to share it with the individual. So when they refuse to receive it in their heart and in their mindset and in their spirit, they're the ones that suffer loss, not you. Now, to share the truth of Christ costs us nothing. It doesn't cost us anything to share the truth. Then again, it's another topic that I would have to come up and talk about another day, that there are some costs, but there's spiritual costs involved in it that have nothing to do with the way we might think of it. I mean, now, when this cost that I'm talking about now has to do with, all right, like, look, to share the truth of Christ costs nothing. Yes, there are expenses for traveling and preparing materials and facilities for the special spread and study of the gospel. Yet the gift to Christ is to increase the family of faith rather than to lose resources. Now, a lot of people are spending their money and their time, because money and time are resources, okay? Money is a tool that's, a material resource, and your time is something that you can't put value on. You can't put money and sense on it. It is time, okay? But our time, as we are on this earth, our time is finite in our bodies. Our time is limited. Our time here to proclaim the gospel of Christ as we are here is limited. We only have a certain amount of years that we're going to be here. And we only have a certain amount of years while we are walking on this earth that God will use us to get this gospel out as he directs and mandates, and not as we may see it or try to take shortcuts or whatever. Okay? Now, as I said, yet the give to Christ is to increase the family of faith rather than to lose resources. The family of faith are those who are set with Christ provided by his work on the cross at Calvary. The gift that he gave them, that he died for the remission of their sins, so they may come to the truth and accountability of Jesus Christ and look to him for all of the things that they may do in the future with their life and their comings and goings, okay? But without the presence of the Holy Spirit in their lives, it's impossible. You can't do it. You're just going to do it the way, you know, well, that's the way the world turns and that's the way it goes. And that's the way, you know, all these little colloquialisms that people use to justify their behavior. But when their behavior is not directed by the Holy Spirit and they're not concerned about the things of God, then they have not embraced the faith that the people of Jesus Christ who got saved embraced. All right, that's very important. Now, John desires prosperity and health for his friends and spiritual children, all right? It's important to note that this is John's desire and not necessarily a mandate or promise from God to all believers, okay? This prosperity is not for their own selfish desires, but so that they may have strength and ability to continue sharing the most important truth of all. The most important truth of all is that Jesus Christ, because of the fall of Adam in the garden, has provided a way for man to reconnect, get back to God, be his adopted son, and inherit eternal life through the salvation that he will accept, that God gives as a free gift. Now, if you want to get how did God give us this gift, or what does this gift entail, or, you know, what's the extent of it? If you have a Bible, when you got some time, go to the book of Ephesians and read it. Okay, read the book of Ephesians and read the chapters in it. You know, it says, you know, for, you know, it will tell you how, you know, we're saved by a grace, you know, grace, and, you know, it's a gift of God, not of works, you know, least any man should boast. You know, you can't earn your salvation. All religions in this world have a way. They want you to earn your way to God, or they have a way that you got to do something to provide your way into the kingdom. God has a free gift. He doesn't put conditions and codicils on his salvation. You can't. If you had $1 trillion, you still couldn't buy your way into the kingdom of God, because your money is worthless to God. It means nothing. The heartbeat of God is souls. All God is concerned about, okay, is the condition of your soul. if your soul is surrendered to the cross or not. If it's not surrendered to the cross, well, you deal with the consequences of that. And a lot of people don't believe that there's any consequences, and a lot of people don't want to embrace the truth. So as co-workers in the arena are going out to get the world to hear the gospel, all right, you know, we are supposed to display the banner of truth. We're supposed to have on integrity. We're supposed to have on righteousness, all right, and we do not go around saying, well, if you don't do this, then such, you know, trying to coerce or put fear in somebody, you better do it or you're going to go to hell. No. That's not, no. Mm-mm, no. Christ has told you the consequences if you live your life apart from him. He did not say he was going to send you. Anybody that may end up in hell or go to hell, they send themselves there because they had the authority, you know, to not go there by accepting. Jesus gave us the authority whether we want to accept the way of truth or not. He said, I don't make robots, and I am not going to twist your arm or tell you you better do what I say. God does not operate that way. The kingdom of this world may operate that way, but God does not. God is a God of peace. He's a God of love. You know, he's a God of pure love. He doesn't have any conditions with his love. There's no codicils or, well, you know, say, well, if you do this, then I'll know. God is pure love. There's no strings or no conditions. He wants you to accept his gift freely. And when you get his gift and you accept it freely, what I didn't get into or allude to earlier was that you're going to come. Every time you try to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, as he would have you spread it, you're going to encounter conflict because the spirit that's in the individuals is going to rise up against you that is fighting inside of them not to receive it. Some of them. And some of them are going to gladly receive and be glad they mention it. Now, everybody you run into is not going to refuse it. It's just that God said, look, your duty is not to make them accept it or not make them not accept it. Your duty is to just tell them the truth. Tell them what I said and tell them, you know, that I died for them and I love them. All right? Now, that was briefly discussion of the first four verses of the third epistle of John. Now I'm going to continue to read on, okay? Now we're going to go from verses 5 through 8, all right? It says verse 5, beloved, it is a fine and faithful work that you are doing when you give any service to the Christian brethren, and especially when they are strangers. Now you know that some people, when they run into Christian brethren, the strangers that they don't know any different churches, they ain't never seen them before, and they just walking into the sanctuary, that, you know, they don't have no kind of hospitality. Sometimes they before they even talk to the individual, they start sizing the individual up by how he came in with his clothes and what kind of car he driving and where he working at. All nonsense. That don't have nothing to do with the kingdom. I mean, it's just uselessness. All right? But look, I'm telling you, it's a fact that a whole lot of people, because of their impressionable spirits, that they got to have, they got to have a way to measure an individual, not by the crisis in them, but by his worldly acquisitions and possessions. Now that's not what a Christian is supposed to do. And even though they call themselves sitting in the church and they say I come every Sunday and I give offerings and tithes, your heart not right if you're into that. Your heart is not right, and you need to get your heart right. I'm just saying that if you listening to me right now, you involved in that sort of behavior, then you should let God turn on the searchlights of heaven and help you with yourself. Verse 6, it says, they have testified before the church of your love and friendship. You will do well to forward them on their journey, and you will please do so in a way worthy of God's service. Now, when you know without a shadow of a doubt, because God will give you gifts. He'll give you a gift of discernment. He will give you a gift of words of wisdom and knowledge. If you have the fruit of, you know, if you have the fruit of the Spirit, then you're mature in them. He can give you certain gifts of the Spirit. But believe me, if you're not mature in the fruit of the Spirit, okay, which is love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self control, then you cannot inherit the 9 spiritual gifts, the power gifts, the revelatory gifts, that section. where you got the gift of miracles, gifts of healing and tongues and all that stuff going on. No. You know, you can't even approach that throne in heaven and put a request on God, at the throne of God for that, unless you get all nine of them fruits hooked up straight. Okay, because the devil's going to always go through your soulless realm to try to get you to pervert the fruit of the Spirit so that it becomes the fruit of the world. And once it's the fruit of the world, then you may say, well, I'm connected to the vine. You know, Christ is the vine, I'm the branches. No, you're a branch, all right, but you ain't on the vine that's connected to Christ. You're on some earthly vine with some earthly fruit, which is a bunch of nonsense, which don't have nothing to do with the kingdom. Now, verse 7, it says, for these traveling missionaries have gone out for the namesake, for his sake, and are accepting nothing from the Gentiles, the heathen, the non-Israelites, okay? Now, anytime a minister goes out into the field, I don't care what his designation or title is, whether he's a worker or co-worker, one of the fivefold gifts, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, it don't make no difference. When you go out in that field, okay, and you go out there and you go to these different nations of the world, you go to these different places, you are then in the office of a traveling missionary. A traveling missionary. I'm talking about you have no designation in terms of your office and church or your title. You are a traveling missionary. Okay. Now, verse 8 says, so we ourselves ought to support such people, to welcome and provide for them, in order that we may be fellow workers in the truth, the whole gospel, and cooperate with its teachers. Now, do you know that you got a whole lot of people, I call them, they want to tribe spirits. They want to run the whole tribe, you know. They want to be our Indian brothers, you know, they in their society, they have different tribal leaders, you know, in their culture. Well, in society, all right, especially in the churches, okay, you got some people, you know, who like to micromanage things and set up their own little cliques and try to control what's going on and, you know, control the flow of the Holy Spirit in the church and try to even control the person who's designated as leader of the church, whether it's an elder, a pastor, missionary, or whoever it is. And you got to watch, you got to guard against that thing because that thing is out here, okay? But see, I'm going to tell you something. God said the wheat will always, you know, the wheat and the tares will be together, okay? So it doesn't matter where your church is or what you're doing. I don't care if you got 10,000 members or 100,000, you got some tares in there. Because God said the tare and the wheat will dwell together. And God said one day when I come back, I'm going to separate them, okay? So it's not our job to be looking for who's the tare and who's the wheat and, I don't know if that was, no. God didn't get you, God didn't call you to that office. He didn't call you to that dispensation. He called you to get out here and get the gospel out in its simplicity. Don't make it all complicated. You know, you got to use 10-syllable words. You know, nobody cares about your degrees. I mean, you know, when you, one day we deed up out of here and go home and be with Jesus, what you gonna do? You gonna go to the phone and go, look, God, I got 5 PhDs. Think about it. That's what I'm saying. I don't care about your PhD. That's man's mess. I mean, I'm not saying that, look, it has its place. I'm not putting any of you down that's got education, because education has its purpose, and you worked hard to achieve what you did. But I'm just saying, when you're dealing with the things of God, God's not, I don't have a lot of time to talk about it anymore. And I would like to explore this topic a little further, but I'm running short of time with regard to this broadcast. But I want you all to understand, I want you all to remember that as long as you love God with a pure heart, regardless of your designation in the church, whether you are one of the pastors or you in the pew sitting to receive the word, your job once you receive the word is you're supposed to get that word out to others so that they can hear the good news of the gospel. Now, may God bless all of you richly. And I hope to speak to you again at another time.
There you have it, the wonderful words of wisdom, amen, anointed words from God. We just thank God for Elder, amen, praise God, exploring the Word of God. Because, you know, God has no greater love for those that are walking in the truth. So we don't have the truth, we just wasting our time. We just, you know, just messing up. So if we're not walking as children in the truth, and if you don't know the truth, I mean, that's why we go to Him. Him is God. So that we can talk to Him and then get back on track. We make mistakes now, And I'm talking about mistakes that's not willfully, but we do stumble up on some things that's not of God. So God give us a chance to make it right. So we thank God, amen, for this beautiful Sunday morning. Amen, coming from Elder Livingston. Amen, I love him. He's my husband. And it's good to walk with a man of God and have somebody in your presence. To have somebody walking side by side, you know that they're holy. You know that they're walking with truth. It's a blessing. Amen. So remember the song. Remember the word. The co-workers with the truth. May God bless you. May heaven smile upon you. And have a wonderful Sunday morning.